record, not this record! Singles, albums, LP records, and they're all scratched. Sound just like a record on a phonograph. May I say, before this record spins to a close.
Today, on The Vinyl Experience, 50 years ago this week, the Rolling Stones made a record that transitioned rock and roll into rock. On May 10, 1965, at Chess Studios in Chicago, and again on May 12th at RCA Studios in Hollywood, I Can't Get No Satisfaction was born, perfected, recorded for all posterity. Half a century later, it has lost none of its leer, its irony, its groove. And that the band who invented it will be touring it this summer and performing it live half a century later is nothing short of miraculous. I'm Paul Cavalcante, and this is The Vinyl Experience. Recorded at RCA Studios Hollywood, May 12, 1965, that twin-track stereo master of the Rolling Stones' I Can't Get No Satisfaction slipped out originally on a Mobile Fidelity Labs boxed vinyl set of the Stones' Decca albums. German and Japanese editions of the CD Hot Rocks in the 1980s substituted that unofficially released version for the more familiar mono mix that favored the fuzz guitar, bass, and drum track that you hear in the left channel. As for the piano, acoustic guitar, and vocal that predominate in the right, there's more to tell about that later in the show, and by someone who was an eye and ear witness to the original recording session. I'll say no more. That iconic fuzz guitar riff by Keith Richards was an attempt to simulate what he envisioned a horn riff would sound like. The guitar part was so distinctive that a horn chart was never written. And the Brian Jones harmonica parts that characterized the May 10th Chicago take on Satisfaction were also scrapped for the record's LA remake, but they did make it to the first public performance of the song on TV's Shindig. Keith would later say that Otis Redding's version of the song was closest to what he had in mind.
Thank you. station, cause I try, and I try, and I try, and I try.
Dora Hall was the wife of paper and plastic party cup magnate Leo Huelsman, who could afford to indulge Dora's dream of being a recording star by self-releasing her musical whims, one being her version of the Stones' hit, and one of the first forays of the song into kitsch and camp territory. The Otis Redding and Aretha Franklin versions were quite the opposite of that. Arrangements that the Stones themselves would favor through the years in live performance. They've never been comfortable with the medium tempo of the original record in concert. Let's get more satisfaction with what is likely the first foreign language translation of the song, into French by Trio Sourire.
Yeah. Sit yourself down and give me that to you.
Three unique mid-60s takes of Satisfaction by Terry Knight and the Pack, Surf King's The Ventures, and the French girl group Trio Sourire. And then there's this guy.
I can get no satisfaction. I can get no satisfaction, but I try. And I try, and I try, and I try. Oh, get no satisfaction. Oh, yeah, get no. Oh, get no.
George Burns donned beads and a Nehru jacket for an album on Buddha Records that featured his geriatric take on Satisfaction as part of a medley. Comedian Phyllis Diller took a crack at the tune, as did competitive rock groups of the day like Manfred Mann, Paul Revere and the Raiders, and the Standells. But the bluesy song translates surprisingly well into jazz. Here are a few convincing reinventions, beginning with the guitarist Joe Pass, who committed an entire album to the Jagger Richards songbook called Stone Jazz. It's a song that makes satisfying jazz. The Rolling Stones' 1965 classic Reborn in three fine arrangements by Quincy Jones and his orchestra, Oscar Peterson with Milt Jackson, and Joe Pass. And this guy, who bridged rock, folk, and jazz as a specialty. After all, the charm did work for Light My Fire.
It scrambles my imagination. I can't get no. Hey, you know I can't get no. Hey, you know I can't get no. Hey, hey, hey. I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. So I try, and I try, and I try. Oh, well, he can't be a man, 'cause he doesn't smoke the same cigarettes as me. I can't get no. Hey, you know I can't get no. Hey, hey, I can't get no. Hey, you know I can't get no. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jose Feliciano gets a satisfactory grade on the Rolling Stones classic. Now, on to the scary versions. The creepiest by far is by industrial rock pioneers The Residents in 1976.
Yeah!
Devo, punked out Satisfaction, in an even quirkier way than their late 70s contemporaries, The Residents. But hell hath no fury like this woman's scorn. When Britney Spears can't get no satisfaction, run for cover. I'll bet even Mick has nightmares over that one. Grammy-winning record producer Russ Titelman was friends with Stone's sidekick Jack Nitzsche, and that's how he found himself in a once-in-a-lifetime experience of watching the Stones rehearse and record Satisfaction at RCA Hollywood on May 12, 1965. Russ recalls keeping a low profile while the song took shape.
Well, I was fortunate enough to be you know, I came in the studio and they said, sit there. So there was a couch in front of the mixing board and then the window into the studio. And so I was just sat there, right, in front of the band, pretty much. And there was a baffle set up. Brian Jones was sitting directly in front of me on a stool facing into the booth. Jack was back behind him to his left, my right, sitting on a chair playing the tambourine part, the chick-chick-chick part, you know. And Keith, I think, was in the back more to the left playing that part. I don't remember where Bill was. In the back, I think. And Charlie was off also in the back. So we kind of went back like that, you know, back like that. So I couldn't see everything, but I just remember the track, and I remember that fuzz guitar being so unique and so exciting sounding.
Was this the first time that you met the Rolling Stones face-to-face?
Yes. It was the first time I met the Rolling Stones.
And how were you introduced to them? Just friend of Jack's? He's here to watch?
Or? You know, he just brought me in and sat me down.
So they just accepted it.
I don't think I even got introduced. You know, Andrew Lou Goldham was in the back, kind of prancing around. Right. Back and forth.
Did you interact with them?
No, not really. I think they were planning to do My Girl or something, and I don't remember if Mick or Keith was at the keyboard looking for chord changes or something. I may have said something like, I think that's a B minor chord. I got the cold shoulder.
I got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Finally, Culture Vultures, the Hampton String Quartet, get the last word.
Thank you.
That's the vinyl experience. The staying power of one song. The timelessness of one record. Ably demonstrated in an hour of unique interpretations. Discover more vinyl experience at TuneIn Radio and iTunes, in the archives of PRN.FM and RTDS.ca, and at the Vinyl Experience Show Facebook page. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Paul Cavalcante.